the Western world is becoming a shrinking part of the world population, but also a diminishing part of the world total output and production. So there is a feeling indeed that the Western world is losing its influence or to a certain extent its hegemony. And this is also something that was discussed or mentioned by the representative, the parliamentarian from Azerbaijan. You say, you know, we should in a way question to what extent what we call the universal principle are still really universal and to what extent they're in a way express the views of, let's say, a shrinking minority of a culture that was in a way dominant during the past few centuries, and that in a way we should reopen the discussion about universal principle. So this is part also of this discussion, is that there is a feeling that, or there is a very strong conviction in all parts of the world that the rules of the games have to be in a way reopened or rediscussed. It is obvious that many countries, and particularly the what we call the emerging world, feel that they are not represented properly or adequately in international governance mechanism. Well, this also contributes to this resentment vis-à-vis the global system. So the reasons for the resentment are very different from one country or one region to the other, but there is indeed some sort of a global resentment.
You mentioned rules of the game that have to be changed. It looks like rules of the game in what concerns media are non-existent today. And basically anything that you don't like, you can call fake news, or any allegation or any hint at a negative allegation about somebody else can become news. So how can we bring things back to normal?
When I mentioned the rules of the games, I was mostly thinking about the, let's say, the economic model.
Right, I just used
to your point about media, but I think this is, it's important to, you know, to really to think about this need to adapt and to adjust or to reform, actually, the economic model that we operate. And there's a really an amazing op-ed by Joe Stiglitz that was published, I think, last week, that demonstrates very clearly that, or that reminds us very clearly that there is this conflict between, let's say, openness and, let's say, being inward-looking. And that is, in a way, the new divide in most societies. You know, those who are indeed willing to catch up openness opportunities and those who want to be entrenched in their tradition and reality. And Stiglitz, as you know, is a Nobel Prize in economics, and, you know, said this, well, there's a basic principle for if you want to reach growth and prosperity, it is through openness. So we need to maintain openness if we want to create growth and prosperity. But he said that's not enough. If we want to sustain this public support for openness, we need to create openness that is sustainable, and a sustainable prosperity goes through a shared prosperity. So we need, in a way, to adapt and to reform the economic model where there is not this sense of being a winner and being a loser, which is what's happening today. So I think this was very important to be told and reminded, because I think it is absolutely right. To get back to your point, one of the panelists made a very interesting presentation about you know, how, the, in a way, the populists have been thriving thanks to social media, and saying, you know, with the Twitter, as we all know, you know, it's much easier to say that this one is an idiot or this one is a crook in 140 signs, rather than to explain in details that, no, I'm not this, I'm not that. And so, I mean, obviously, the social media have been very well used by the populist movement, because it's much easier, you know, to use very short messages to be very critical and to be very nasty or to be very simplistic, when actually if you want to explain the voice of moderation or to try to be coming up with rational views, it takes time. You need to go into details. And so this is really a serious issue. One other point that is a bit ironic and that was actually stressed by Professor Proud, she said, you know, during a very long time, there was this impression or conviction that mainstream media were saying the truth and that social media were just, you know, people dumping ideas and thoughts and that they were certainly not trustworthy. And now we are exactly in the opposite situation where mainstream media, and when I mean mainstream media, as we see in many parts of the world, you know, these are very well established for a very long time, mainstream media, which are in a way portrayed as fake news. This is obviously very dangerous.
So just last question, basically, do you have the answer to the question that was part of the name of the panel, how to prevent the rise of populism and nationalism?
Well, if I give more like a personal perspective, I spent about 20 years with the World Bank, with the UN, with the Council of Europe, which gave me lots of fascinating opportunities to engage with so many different people from so many different perspectives around the world. And there is probably one thing that I've learned through all these experiences. You know, nobody is holding the truth by themselves. And I think we always need to respect the difference. And if we really want to build or to rebuild some sort of minimum social contract, we need to accept to engage with those who think eventually very differently. And that is the only way in bringing under the tent the very different and polarized opinion and to try to find some sort of common ground. This is the only way we will be able to avoid this kind of global civil war. Because what we are now witnessing is exactly the opposite, is that those who are increasingly globalized and those who are increasingly localized dismissed each other increasingly, and they feel that they have nothing in common. And this is also true between those who are increasingly secular and those who are increasingly religious. They really have the conviction that they don't belong to the same tribe. But at the end of the day, what I've learned from, you know, going around the world so many, many times is that most people, 99% of the population on the planet, is willing to live in peace, is willing to live with their family or with their friends, and to have a job and to live in a safe environment. And in a way, most people are what I call the moderate. And there is a tremendous majority, or a tremendous silent majority of moderate, of people who, in a way, are oscillating between this model of secular or religious society or globalized and localized society. And we need, in a way, to try to reinvent a model where we will be able to live again all together under the same tent. And after all, this has happened during centuries, and there is no reason why now, or at the beginning of the 21st century, the world would collapse.